This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Let me just give those actions real quick. You see, part of our problem with this little word that we call love, L-O-V-E, is that a lot of us don't have a good understanding of the word that Jesus is using here for love. If I was to ask, I see a lot of these young folks sitting in here, if I was to ask one of the young folks, and maybe some of the old ones, what love means, most people are going to talk about attraction, and they're going to talk about feelings, and they're going to talk about sentiment. But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about a God kind of love. He's not talking about that Eros love. I'm talking about the love that two people of the opposite sex, that love that they have for each other. He's not talking about filial love, that love that two buddies have. I'm talking about the love where they get the name of the city of Philadelphia, filial love. I'm talking about that brotherly kind of love. He's talking about agape love here. And our actions ought to be selfless. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, your actions towards another person should be selfless and not selfish. Oh, let me explain it. I had you to say it, so I need to explain. You see, when somebody does something to us, I want you to hear that word called pride, P-R-I-D-E. That's how you spell it, P-R-I-D-E. But when you pronounce it, what you hear, dominant, I, pride. You see, when you put self into it, amen, this is what self would say. How can I get back at them? Praise God. What can I do to get even? Praise God. But Jesus describes actions in which our self-interest are set aside, and that the interests of our enemy may be considered. Look what Jesus tells us in these actions. Praise God. First of all, he said, do good to them which hate you. Woo, 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 woo. You see, this is translating the love. I'm talking about the desire to be helpful to a person into some positive action. It could invoke finding some need in the life of the person who hates you and then meeting that need. Talk about action. Next one he said, bless them that curse you. You see, again, the natural thing for us is to defend self from the hateful words and to seek to discredit or to prove the person wrong. But Jesus is telling us not to waste time trying to defend self. He says, show love. Seek to build up the one who has cursed you. In other words, we are to invoke a blessing upon that person. You know why? Praise God. You know why? Praise God. It's just like heaping coals of fire upon their head. Somebody sees that they are trying to knock you down, keep you down, run you down, ridicule your name, and you continue to show love toward that person. Praise God, you are heaping coals of heat upon their head. Man, they don't even know how to take you. Praise God. And guess what? Before long, it may take that to win that person for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, our actions are generous. When you are generous, you are giving. And if I take verse 29 through 30, I'm on my way out, y'all. Our Lord presents us with several situations we may encounter at the hands of an enemy. Praise God. And in every case, he calls for us to be generous, or to have a generous response on our part. Let me just run them by you real quick. The very first one says, praise God, unto him that smite you on the cheek. He didn't say that you get mad. He said, turn the other cheek. Now, let me give you something that you may not be privy to. That word cheek in the Greek is a word that is pronounced like the capital of South Vietnam. Everybody know this capital of South? Saigon. And that word implies a jaw. A jawbone. So they're not, what he's saying there, he's not just talking about a smack on the cheek. He's talking about somebody who may hurt you very deeply. When you talking about possibility of a broken jawbone, that's somebody that has hurt you very deep, even by some things that they do. Or some things that they threaten to do. Oh boy. Oh boy, my legs are hurting now. Maybe I ought to stop. Oh boy, I'm getting ready to go through here now. Person plans, scheme, connive to hurt you. They ain't your friend. Let me say that again. Person scheme, connive, praise God, to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. That ain't your friend. You can't love the way, but you got to love the person. Our actions got to be generous. Praise God. He said, if they smite you on one face, praise God, you turn the other cheek. Amen. I know that's hard to do, but we are compelled to love. Praise God. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 also has an A say, and him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Can I make that plain? Back in those days, Jewish men wore two outer garments. One was an inner liner. Sometimes they will wear one. Sometimes they will wear two. And of course, you know, sometimes they'll wear three, depending on the weather. That was the cloak. And then on the outer garment, they would have a coat on. Now, they were only allowed to have one coat. But they can have as many cloaks as they wanted. So he's saying that if somebody takes somebody takes your cloak, that means that he is taking something from you that belongs to you. And normally when they would take the cloak, it was the pay. Get that thing on. Amen. It meant that you have a debt to them. They would not give you the opportunity to pay it. They would take the cloak from you. He's saying that they take your cloak, which you might have one, you might have two, you might have three. Yeah. If they do that, give them the coat.
You know the coat. That's
when you are compelled to love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you're compelled to love.
Yeah.
Amen. You can give them the coat. Don't you worry about it. You see, like I said, and finally, he says in verse 30, look what he says in verse 30. He said, give to every man that acts of thee. Now, somebody say, Pastor, you're going to have to explain that one to me. Praise God. And of him that takes away. In other words, if somebody steals something from you, don't you even worry about trying to go back and retrieve it. Ooh. Let them keep it. I don't keep it. Oh, I got so mad with O.J. Simpson. Oh, I got mad. Somebody's gonna look at me and say, "What do you mean you get? What you doing getting mad with O.J. Simpson?" Y'all remember O.J. Simpson's story?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all. Come on.
Yes, sir.
O.J. had it made. Somebody gonna steal some of his memorabilia. Somebody with memorabilia. And he gonna go with a weapon to get it back. Knowing that the folks wanted anything they can get on
them. Anything. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Anything. What?
So this text says, praise God, if they take it away, even if they steal it from you, praise God. You know why he said that?
Yeah.
That you were to give to those?
Yeah.
He was really talking about you giving to somebody who is in need.
Yeah, Lord.
Because you want to know something? I wouldn't stand up here in this pulpit and tell you to give to everybody that asks you. Can I make that claim? You give out money like that, you're going to be in the soup line along with them, because the scripture discreet with our finances, with our giving. Somebody say, Pastor, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. I believe it's Psalm 112. I gave it to them. Psalm 112, verse 5. We ought to have some discretion. I'm going to explain what I'm talking about. He said that a good man shows favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion, meaning that he's going to be responsible in what he is doing. Can I break it down a little bit? Plain. We're among friends in here. I'm not going to continue to loan money to somebody that I know going to take it. Anybody ever seen a Pac-Man? Anybody remember Pac-Man?
Yes, sir.
Come on, how many of y'all remember Pac-Man? Y'all remember Pac-Man? I remember I used to play Pac-Man. And man, Pac-Man gobbled up everything you had.
Amen, Pastor. One row at a time.
I have to use some discretion to whether or not I'm going to loan somebody some money. Now, this is a visit. I got to use some discretion that if I'm going to loan somebody some money that I know. Oh, boy, somebody said, there he go again. That I know going to go to the casino. That text is talking about taking and helping somebody who is in need. And my brothers and my sisters, we need to use some discretion . I know I'm standing talking about we'll love them. Yes, the Bible says that we are compelled to love. But he gives us some discretion as to what we do. I can't go out here and work 40 hours a week and then 10 hours overtime to make money. And somebody come up and say, man, can I? And you know. I told y'all nobody was going to be shouting today.
Yeah. It's good, Pastor. Good.
See, if we show love as we are compelled to love, then love will find a way to do so for the enemy what we would want someone to do for us. Praise God. That's the golden rule. That's what's outlined in verse number 31, but praise God, our actions are different from those of sinners. I'm getting ready to wrap it up now. Our actions are different from those of sinners. If you look in verse 32 through 34, I'm not going to linger on these, but I must mention them because Jesus gives us a few litany of things. He says, but if we love only those who love us, we are no better than sinners or those who are lost. If we do good to them who do good to us, we are no better than sinners or those who are lost. If we lend, praise God, to them only who can give us the money back. Like again, I'm saying that lend is to help somebody who is in need, praise God. Praise God. We are what make us any different between a sinner and those who are, in fact, lost. You see, Jesus is not calling for what is naturally done, praise God, in the world of sinners. Praise God. But what can only be done supernaturally by those of us who know the Lord. Praise God. Because if we are sure enough, know that we know the Lord, we are to love just like the Lord loved. And the last time I checked, he loved every last one of us. Just like we were. So I talked about the fact that he gave us the object of love. He gave us the actions of our love. But you know what he gives us also in this thing? He lets us know the reward for our love. Put verse 35 back up there. Oh, man. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. I want you to put it back up there. He said, but if you love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful. There is a reward, praise God, that awaits us if we love like Christ loved. Very marquee scripture. Everybody in the church knows it. John 3:16. God say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm finished. We are compelled to love. We should never hate another person. We shouldn't love what they do. See, I can say this because I have to live it. I got a niece that I hate what she does. I said a niece, man, no, I'm talking about a granddaughter. I hate what she does, but I got to love her. And in my love for her, I pray for her. Every day, ask the Lord to protect her while she is out there being stupid. Ask the Lord, Lord, don't allow no hurt, harm, or danger to come. Give her an opportunity to come to know you. Spare her life until, I would love for her to grow 80. But I ask the Lord to at least spare her life so that she can come to know you, because I know that if she were to die right now, at least the last time I saw her, that she's going to be hellbound. I know y'all, a lot of y'all play Monopoly. Stop going no collect no $200, going straight. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I've been standing up here for about the last 50 minutes talking about how we are compelled to love because we represent Jesus. And if there was anybody who could have been mad, upset, if there was anybody who had a right, oh Lord, to carry a grudge, he didn't carry a grudge. He carried a cross up a hill called Calvary. that same Jesus is the one that we carry a part of his name. We say that we're Christians. Christians mean that we ought to be Christ-like. That means that we ought to love like Christ. That means that we ought to give like Christ. That means that we ought to forgive like Christ. I sat back and I look at life and I done already made 71. I look back and I ask myself, where in the world did those 71 years go? They went by so fast that it make my own head swim. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that life is too short for us to harbor hatred in our heart. Do you know what that does to you? Brother Culver, do you know what that does to you if you harbor hatred in your heart? I would not want to walk around with that burden. I'll get it off. I tell you, ain't no use, two people going to hell. I am going. I'm going to get it right. If there is anybody in here if you think I don't like you, come see me. I'm going to let you know how I really appreciate you. One thing that I try not to do, and I can say I try, I don't try no more. I do not harbor any hatred in my heart for a human being. Now, if you got some nasty ways, I'm going to say something about them ways. But as far as you, man, I'm going to love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to hug your neck, kiss you on the cheek. I am going, I'm not trying, I am going to hear Jesus tell me, well done, thy good